chapter 9 and verse 57. I want to say it's so good to see everyone that's here today. It's made your way out to the house of prayer. God bless these children as they go out to Sunday school. Amen. I believe that God is doing something in these children's lives. I feel it. I feel like God is doing great things in their lives that you're going to look down the road later in their life and you're going to say, wow, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Amen, amen, amen. Verse 57 of Luke chapter 9, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes to live in, and birds of the air have nests to stay in, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, if you're looking to follow me to my mansion on this earth, you're going to be disappointed. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first, before I follow you, go bid them farewell. Let me go tell everybody goodbye, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and then looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Would you help me pray today? God, we need you today. We need you desperately in this house. We ask that you would be with us, that you would touch us, that you would strengthen us, that you would open our ears and hearts and minds to receive and understand your word. Apply it to our lives, I pray, and help us to be changed by your word today. I pray that you will anoint these lips of clay, that you will use me according to your will with the word that you've given to me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, lived we would look at it now as a vagabond life, as a traveling life, as an unstable life, some would say. A life where he never, if you were following him, you never knew where you were going to be next week. And so when we look at Jesus in this life that he had of not having a house to live in, not having fine transportation, not having impressive or impressing clothing, etc., not eating in the best restaurants or the equivalent of that in their day. When we look at Jesus in this fashion, we realize that it really was a life of humility. It was not a life of pride, but a life of humility. And I do believe that God likes to bless us, that he enjoys, that he wants to bless us with good things in this life. I believe that. There's some that don't believe that, but I do. I do believe that God, it would bring him great joy to give you fancy cars to drive or fancy houses to live in or fancy clothes to wear and fancy restaurants to eat in and all that. But the problem is that many of us are not capable of having all of that and still following him. It's just the way it is. You know, there's so many people that have come to God, and no doubt all of us in this place can relate to this in our own life, but people have come to God in a very difficult place. Their life is broken and shattered and torn and they crawl in, so to speak, to to the place where they can find God, and they are so humbled in needing God and crying out to Him that they surrender all of their pride to Him, and they say, "Oh God, I need Your mercy," and they're just at the most humble state, and God comes in and blesses them and touches them, and now they can stand up with a smile, and they can walk with a smile, and they can feel better about things. And as they begin their journey for Him, living as a Christian, following Jesus, it's our natural tendency to begin to the memory of the pain of the altar experience starts to fade just a little bit, and it's not as fresh in our minds, and we're not as desperate as we were that day, because now we're not in a desperate place. And as we go on living and God blesses us with things, it is our natural tendency to begin to let go of that humble state in our heart. It's just our common nature to begin to feel a little bit better about ourselves and begin to feel a little bit better about how we're doing, because, you know, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love, and He wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made it right. And we sing that song and we get excited about it, and it's wonderful. But it's something how whenever we get to walking and everything's good, and we remember that, you know, one time I was in sin, once I was a sinner, but now I'm doing pretty good. I'm not doing the things I used to do, and I'm living a lot better than I used to live for God. And I don't talk like I used to talk, don't walk like I used to walk, don't go the places I used to go, and don't say that I'm just a lot different, a lot better. And so we begin to feel better about ourselves, and we feel less needy of God's mercy and grace. It's our natural tendency. So as we begin to feel better about ourselves, and as He begins to bless us, pretty soon it's, well, boy, I'll tell you, when I was desperate, man, all night long I was crying out to God, but now I need my sleep. You see, things aren't so desperate now, and when I wake up at 1 in the morning, and I look at the clock, and I'm feeling this urge, like, you know, the mind, something in my mind keeps telling me that, you know, I ought to just get up and pray because I'm wide awake now, and for some reason I get this real weird thought that I ought to get up and pray. But you know what? There's not really anything desperate in my life right now, and I got needs, but I can pray about those tomorrow. And I think that, I just need my sleep, and I'm sure God wants me to get plenty of sleep. And we roll over, and, you know, we're right back where we were. Why? Because we're not as desperate. And so suddenly now the call to prayer is not as moving or as invigorating in us as it used to be. And pretty soon it's easy for us whenever the things are required to be a Christian, all of a sudden now we start kind of fading on those things. Our prayer life shows it. We don't fast as much. We don't read our Bible as much, and going to church is not as important as it used to be. And when I'm at church, giving my all in worship and just, you know, really just getting outside of myself and giving God my best is not as important, because I'm doing pretty good. And so, you know, I think I can just kind of get away with just a little bit of a, oh boy, let's see, now tomorrow I need to get over to the doctor. Let me think about it. And the song leader or the person leading the service says, "You know what? Let's just give God a big hand clap. Let's see now. I've got those bills I need to pay." You see what I'm saying? It's easy for us to fade on our push whenever things are going good. And Jesus, in his earthly ministry, whenever you followed Jesus, it was a lot different than it would be just going to church once in a while today. It was a lot different. if you're going to follow Jesus. And in the setting that we just read, three came up to him. One of them said, you know what, Lord? I'll follow you wherever you go. Wherever you go, I'm with you. And Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, sir, if you're going to follow me wherever I go, there's going to be some nights that you're going to be going with me to a mountain place to pray. Not a sleeping bag, 0 degree, that'll keep you warm. Not a nice hotel room that we're going to book into. No, if you're going to follow me wherever I go, there's going to be times you're going to be in the midst of the sea and the salt water of the waves is going to splash over you and it's going to get you wet and drench you. Sometimes there's going to be storms that before I calm the storm. Sometimes there's going to be lions and bears out in the desert where I go. Sometimes you're going to be hungry and you're not going to have anything to eat. He said, there's a price to pay if you're going to follow me. Another one came and along and he said, follow me. And he said, Lord, okay, but before I do, just let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. In other words, let the natural or those that are not alive in the kingdom of God, let them take care of burying their dead. Now, you and I look at that today in 2022. In 2022, can I say that we live in a very soft world? I don't know how else to say it, but it's a soft world. It's where on social media, the news, everywhere else, if somebody is offended by something, or if something bothers them or hurts them, boy, it's like a swarm of bees coming in to sting the one that said something that offended them. That's just how today's world is. You know, you can't say anything. I'll tell you, when I was a boy, and this is not right. I'll just tell you this. Thank God that parents hopefully are standing up against this, teaching their kids this. But when I was a kid, there were people in school that look at somebody else and say, you know what, you sure are ugly. They'd say that. Well, that's wrong. That a child should not tell another child they're ugly, but it's probably going to happen. But they'd say they're ugly, or tell somebody, boy, you know what? You always wear the same. You always wear that same shirt every day, and boy, that's really funny. And nowadays, you know, we might let children slide, but nowadays, if somebody went and told somebody else, you know, something derogatory, like, well, let me pick one. This will be controversial in today's world. I know all of you understand, but if somebody walked up to, well, okay, let me back up just a little bit. Let's say that you're in a restaurant, you're waiting to be seated, and there's people waiting to be seated, and if there was a homosexual couple in that restaurant that they're waiting to be seated. And while they're waiting to be seated, they're just all over each other. Well, can I tell you, there was a time and a day when you could say, hey, would you stop that? That's not appropriate here. Nowadays, if you said that to them right now, oh my, you'd have everybody after you saying, are you kidding me? They are, in other words, we've got to accommodate wrong. We've got to accommodate sin, and we can't say a word about it hardly in these settings, because after all, if you do, suddenly now somebody's going to be offended. But in Jesus's day, and I picked some examples that I knew we'd all relate to of how our society is today, but in Jesus's day, he said, you know what? I know your father died, but you know what? Let the rest of the family bury the father, and you come along with me. That's a bit harsh. If our father died, our mother died, sister, brother, parent, child, anybody that's very, very close to us, somebody that we love very, very much, and if we said, Lord, if the Lord said, you know what, follow me, and we said, okay, Lord, I want to do that. I want to follow you. I want to go where you go, and I want to do what you're telling me to do. But Lord, before I do that, you see, my father just died, and I need to bury him. And if Jesus told us, let the dead bury their dead, you just follow me, what would we do? Huh. Who does this man think he is? I was offering to follow him, and now he's so insensitive, so uncaring, so calloused and hard. I'm not about to follow somebody like that. Isn't that something? Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. That is a hard statement. Can I say that that is a bit of a glimpse into the life of following Jesus? If you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to give up. There's some things you're going to have to take on. There's some things that you're going to have to do without. There's some people that you're not going to have their favor. You're not going to be popular in some areas. Can I say that following Jesus requires a sacrifice? Somebody else came along and said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to follow you. But before I do, let me go tell everybody goodbye at my house. And Jesus said, okay, so you're getting ready to put your hand to the plow. You're getting ready to dig into the work, into plowing the harvest field, to work in the harvest field and to begin to plow and to sow seed in the kingdom of God. And so you're coming up and you're putting your hand on the plow saying, Lord, I'll follow you. And Jesus said, no man that puts his hand to the plow and says, okay, let's get busy. But he stops and he looks back. He looks back at what he's leaving. He looks back at what he's given up. No man that does that, no man that puts his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God if he looks back. Oh, these are hard things. In 2022, we live in a soft world. We live in a world where if you and I are in a bad place financially, then let me just say that in the old days, in Jesus' time, if you had a sickness or a disease such as leprosy, you weren't allowed in the camp or the city. You lived outside the city. You basically, can I tell you where you lived? You lived at the landfill. That's pretty much where you lived. It would be like going, we called it the dump growing up, but if you went out to the landfill, and you just lived there, and you rummaged through the landfill looking for food, looking for anything at all that you could keep warm. If you lived at the landfill, that's about how it was in Jesus' day. We live in a blessed time to where if we've got a disease, if we've got something that doesn't let us be close to people, there's still places that we can find medical help in today's world. There's still places that we can find shelter. Now this is going to sound a little harsh, and I don't want to be harsh because we love everybody, and we minister. We've done a lot, or God has helped us to minister to many people that are in a homeless state. But I will tell you, I can't even remember the number of people that I've talked to and tried to help that are in a very homeless state, and they say, I just need help me out here and I need this and that. And I have suggested to them at times, if I know their situation and I know where they can get help, and I've suggested to them where they can get help. A classic example, I remember there was one particular person that was having a struggle in an addiction, drug addiction, and life all messed up. And at that time, they were actually accepted into the Salvation Army program, and they were so excited. But you know what? It wasn't any time at all, hardly, before they checked out of that, and they suddenly now they're right back under the park bench. Why? Because they didn't want to conform to the program's restrictions and rules. That addiction was more important to them than the rules. And I know that there's a lot of people that want to let go of an addiction, that addiction is so big. And that's why I'm a believer. I'm just telling you, I'm a believer that everything that we need, we can find in God. And oh boy, that goes against the theological teachings of today, because everybody today, I'll just put it really bluntly. The best I can say is, if somebody's having marital problems, before they go see the counselor, they ought to come pray through at the altar. That's just the way I feel. And I know that a lot of people say, oh, no. But can I tell you there, it's no wonder that we have such an epidemic of divorce and problems in our Pentecostal churches. It's because Pentecost is getting to the point to where now, if somebody's having trouble, they bypass the altar and go straight to man for answers. Now, I do believe that counselors can be a tremendous help. I know they can be a tremendous help. There's a lot of good counseling in that is available to people. But it is my belief that if you want to completely fix the problem and get on fire for God and make it to heaven, then you need to visit the altar first, pray through, get a big old dose of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost, and then go see the counselor. It'll do you a lot more good. And that's just the way I feel about it. And I know there's a lot of people that don't like me for saying that, but that's just the way it is. And I appreciate all of you are behind that. But let me just say, there's other people outside in the church world that don't like that. But it is what it is. Amen. And so we see that mankind it's a soft world. It's a world where we don't go through the hard things to get what we need. We take the soft road. And Jesus is saying, you want to follow me? You want to live for me? You want to minister and be used greatly of me? You're going to have some hard times. You're going to have some difficult times. Now, I want to say right now that I believe with all of my heart that God loves to bless us. So I believe that even as we are following him and experiencing hardship, he still wants to bless us. I just believe after having looked cover to cover in this Bible and see so many examples, I believe that what God really, really wants is he wants to be able to bless us with good things in this life and yet have us still fully committed to him. Not relaxing and saying, well, it's 1 a.m, I just woke up and I keep getting this thought that I need to pray, but no, he wants us, if we're in a warm house, under warm bedclothes, and we're doing well when we wake up in the morning and he prompts us to pray, he wants us to be able to say, you know, God, I feel so warm here. I don't want, my flesh doesn't want to get up out of this nice warm bed, but you've done too much for me, and I'm not going to forget it. I'll throw these bedclothes back, and I'll get down on my knees, and I'll spend some time in prayer. That's what he wants. He wants to bless us. He wants to make everything blessed in our lives. But he knows what will hurt us and what will help us. You can do some research, if you choose, on people who have won the lottery. We're talking about people that they had nothing. They get the winning numbers, winning ticket, whatever, and they're immediately, now their life is set. They have more money than they'll ever need the rest of their life. And in 2 years, 3 years, they're broke. It's all gone. Why? Why? Because they couldn't handle the blessing. They couldn't handle it. And I'm not gonna just say that winning the lottery is exactly a blessing, because I don't think that we ought to be playing the lottery, but I'm just saying that if they get the money, they can't handle it. Why? Why? Because God knows what we can handle. Somebody says, oh, I wish God would give me a new house like he gives so-and-so over here. I want to live in a new house. Well, God might know that we can't handle that. Or you know what? I'm tired of wearing the same old clothes all the time. I sure wish that God would bless me like he does Johnny down the road with new clothes. Can I say that God knows what we can handle? And he knows if maybe he just all of a sudden just dropped a wardrobe out of heaven and you had some amazing threads. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm doing good. You sure look fine. Yeah. We don't know. Our pride can get the best of us. And God knows what we can handle. He knows if we can handle a lot of money, or he knows if maybe he needs to kind of make that money try to stretch a little bit, because if he doesn't, we'll get off of our knees praying. But if he kind of lets us have a little bit of a tough time until we get through the learning process, maybe we'll stay on our knees. You see, our God knows what we need. Our God knows what we need. And nobody knows like our God what we need. I want to finish up. I won't be real long today, but I want to just theme this, or title it if I could, How Will You Answer Jesus's Call? How will you answer Jesus's call? In we find in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, starting at verse 1, we find that it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he asked him if he would just set out a little bit from the land. You see, in those days, they didn't have microphones like this to talk. They didn't have nice speakers and fancy systems, and they didn't have big amphitheater on every corner where Jesus could teach. So when he found that when people would be down on the multitude on the beach, if you will, and they were all wanting to hear him talk, he could get into a boat, and he could get back a little bit, and that water from between the boat and the beach, that water acted as a carrier for his voice. So when he would be in the boat and he would be speaking, that water, the sound bounces off that water and it carries it out, and the people can hear him much better than if he's just standing in the middle of them talking. And so Jesus had Simon, who's left in the boat, thrust out a little bit from the land, and he sat down in the boat and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he got done speaking, now first of all, let me just say, this is Simon Peter, and Simon did not know Jesus yet. So let me just clarify that. Where we are speaking right now, it's the early part of Jesus' ministry. He is just beginning to call his first disciples, and they did not know who he was. He did not come floating like an angel across and say, "Behold, I am a supernatural deity. I am all God and all man. I am the mighty God. I am the creator of the ends of the earth, and I am here. I want you to follow me." He didn't do that. You know how he did? He was born in a manger. He cried for his food just like any other baby, and he grew up. This man grew, and as this man grew, and became about 30 years old and began his ministry, when these disciples first saw him, before they were ever disciples, they were just fishermen, and Jesus comes through, they're looking at a man. He's just a man. That's all he is. He's just a man to them. And so this man comes out and gets in Simon's ship and says, "Hey, would you cast out a little bit from the land?" And so Simon said, "Okay. All right, this is different." And so he set his boat back a little bit in the water, and Jesus sits down and starts speaking. I wonder what it was in Jesus' message that day that got Simon Peter's attention. Something about Jesus' preaching that day got a hold of Simon, because when Jesus was done speaking to the people, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep. Go out a little bit deeper and let down your nets for a big fishing catch." And Simon answered unto him. He didn't know this man yet. But he said, "Master, we've toiled and worked all night long fishing. You don't understand We've already done what you're telling me to do. We've been fishermen many years, all our lives, in fact, and we know the water, the sea. We understand fish. We understand how to catch them. We know the good times, the bad times. We know the good places, the bad places. And there's something that we as fishermen know, that if all night long we were fishing out in this area and we didn't catch any fish, Master, we know that if we go back out there right now, it's only been a short time. In fact, the other fishermen, my partners over here, are out there washing the nets. We just got back from doing this. And if we go do it and drop it down again, we're going to get the same thing we got last night, a big zero. That's essentially what Simon's pride, his natural thinking, is saying to this man. He said, we've taken nothing, although we worked all night. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, I just believe that there was something in Jesus' preaching that grabbed Simon Peter's attention and said, this man is not like any other man that I've ever met. This man has got something about him that I've never seen or experienced in a person before. There's something different about him. And even though he's telling me to put down my nets, and I don't think it'll do any good because I've already tried it. I've done everything I can. I've tried every option there is, and nothing has worked for me. But all of a sudden, he said, here, do it the way I tell you to do it. And there's something different about him. So nevertheless, it's your word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so much that their net broke. Can I tell you that you might have tried everything that this world has to offer? You might have tried every program. You might have tried every option, every opportunity. You might have tried everything. You might have tried everything your friends told you, everything the internet tells you. But can I tell you that when you try Jesus, when you do it Jesus's way. Well, I've been doing it Jesus's way. I pray to him every day. Well, are you really doing it his way, or are you still praying your way? Oh, when we do it his way, what a difference. And so it enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And he beckoned. I can just picture Simon, because we find out a little bit later how impulsive and how excited he gets. I can just picture Simon going, hey, 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 partners, hey, come here. Hey, guys, come here. You're not going to believe this. I need your help. And they came running. They ran in, and they filled both the ships so that they begin to sink. That's a lot of fish. That's a lot of fish. Both ships are beginning to sink. Now, when Simon Peter saw it, oh, my, I love this. Simon Peter, you could have missed out on a big fishing catch today. You could have missed out, but you decided to follow what God said to do. You finally, you decided that it was worth giving it a try, and look what's happened now. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, you need to leave me. Sir, you need to leave me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. I don't even deserve to be around you. You don't understand. I'm a fisherman. I'm a sailor. I'm a pretty vulgar person, and it's obvious that you are not that. It's obvious that you are pure. It's obvious I can sense something clean about you. I can sense something right about you. And I'm everything the opposite of that. And you need to depart from me and leave me, because you don't need to be hanging around with such a low class person as I am. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, don't be afraid. You don't have to tell me to leave. Don't be afraid, because from this point forward, you're going to learn to catch men. You're not going to be just going out here and dropping nets down and trying to pull fish in that you can sell and people can eat and stay alive. But instead, you're going to bring the bread of life to men. You're going to teach other men how to find me. You're going to catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, this is the part I want to focus on in verse 11. All these fishermen, when they had brought their ships to land, they could have said, oh, wow, we got two ships full of fish. It's going to take a while to get these fish ready to market to sell. And then when we finally get all done, we'll sell all these fish and then we can just kind of hang out and we can actually go fun fishing, you know, to the river on our own. We can go floating down the river. We can go to Disneyland. We can go to Knott's Berry Farm. We could go on a trip over and tour Europe. We could buy us a nice fancy car. We can just live the dream because we've got two full ships of fish because of that great man that came by and told us what to do. That's what they could have done. But the Bible says that when they came to land, that they forsook all. They left everything and followed him. Think about that. They left everything and followed Jesus. Now, interesting, when we look over in Matthew chapter 5 and 18, I'm just going to tell you this real quick, or at the end of that, and going on from thence, he saw the other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship. This is the same story, just different. This is Matthew's version. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed Jesus. They forsook all, including their family, including their father, and they followed Jesus. Now, if you're the father hanging back there, and all of a sudden you got two boats full of fish here that you got to deal with and try to sell, and all of your employees called your sons, they all just left and left you with all of it, you might not be too happy. I don't know. But all I can say is that dad didn't follow Jesus. Don't really know and understand completely. Can I say that Jesus called the sons, but the father didn't go with them? Can I say that sometimes when you start to follow Jesus, not everybody's going to see your vision. Not everybody's going to catch on to what you've caught on to. When you tell somebody, oh my, I'll tell you, we had an amazing church service. Boy, we really sang and worshiped and the Spirit of God was moving in there and we were giving up things in our life. It was just great. There's a whole lot of people at your job or in your family that are going to go, oh, that's nice. Sure glad I go to the other church down the road because those people are crazy. No, can I tell you, not everybody's gonna see your vision. A lot of people are gonna wish that you didn't see the vision either, because they don't want to be left alone. But if we're gonna follow Jesus, we're gonna have to say, I am gonna follow Jesus. I don't care who comes with me or who doesn't come with me. I'm going to follow Jesus. If my mama doesn't follow me, if my daddy doesn't follow me, if my son or my daughter, if my spouse doesn't follow me, if my friends don't follow me, I'm going to follow Jesus because I've got to make it. I've got to follow this man. We see later in that chapter in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9. We see a different chapter here, Luke chapter 9, 57. We find that Jesus is calling again. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, this is the part I read earlier. This is, let me jump ahead. Let me get back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican. Now, a publican was a tax collector. How many of you just love the IRS? How many of you sometimes just call up the IRS and say, hey, listen, Do you need some more money? I'd be happy to write you a check or send you some more money. I don't know too many people that think very fondly of the IRS. Tax collectors are not exactly in our list of favorites on our phone that we call and really, you know, say, boy, just wondering if you wanted to go out to eat and have some. No, we're not into tax collectors. Well, Jesus sees a tax collector named Levi. He sat at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. Can I point out something here? He's on his job. He's on the clock. He's doing the job. And Jesus said, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Think about that. He just got up and left. He didn't even know this man. Here's a man coming by and says, follow me. But can I tell you that whenever you get a good look at Jesus, whenever you start seeing Jesus for what he really is, suddenly there's something that's going to draw you to him, something that's going to tell you he's not like all my other friends. He's not like my family. He's not like the person that I trusted in and I really believed in, and they let me down and crashed my dreams and hopes. No, Jesus is different. And he rose up, left all, and followed him. And now, here as I get ready to close, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company or party of publicans or tax collectors and of others that sat down with them. Jesus is walking along. He gets to where there's a man sitting by there where people had to come pay their taxes. He said, hey, follow me. Levi said, okay. He gets up, leaves everything, and follows him. And then Levi says, hey, I want to throw a party at my house for you. We're going to have a feast. And so they go to the feast, and not only did Levi say, I'll follow you, but he said, I'm going to tell all of my friends. I'm going to tell all of my coworkers about you as well. You see, when Matthew or Levi threw this feast in his house, all of the other publicans that he called, they came to see Jesus too. He told them, this man is different than anybody I've ever met. I don't even understand what I'm doing. I'm just following him. You see, a lot of times in our simple way of thinking, in our carnal way of thinking, in our logical way of thinking, we say, okay, well, preacher, you're telling me that, you know, I know, I see what you're saying. You know, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I see it. I see it in the Bible. But, preacher, how do I know that the Bible's really right? Because, preacher, there's a lot of religions out there. There's other Bibles. There's other books that other religions base theirs on. And so before I put my faith and confidence in this book and what you're saying, I need to do a little more research about it. I need to go out there and I need to check out all of those other religions, and I need to check up on everything that everybody else does, and I need to see what those books say, and I need to compare them to this book, and then I need to use my logic to see if this one makes more sense than the others. You see, there's a preacher, you're telling me this, and I get it. I know you're saying Acts 2:38, but how do I know that's really right? One of these days, preacher, when I've figured it all out, I'm going to surrender to this if it's right. But now, preacher, just so you know, I may go out and I may try Buddhism for a little bit, and I may kind of explore that and try it a little bit, and then, preacher, I might even kind of even get a little bit into some of the other religions around the world, and I might try. I want to check out the Baptists, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians. I want to check out the Catholics. I want to check out the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. I want to check them all out, and then I'll decide at the end which one I think is right, and I'll go with it. Jesus goes walking, looks at Levi, the tax collector, says, "Follow me." Levi didn't say, "Sir, can you show me your credentials? Do you have a degree from a very well-known university? What have you studied? What was your grade point average? What success do you have in your resume that would cause me to follow you?" No, Levi didn't do that. Jesus walked by, looked at Levi, said, "Follow me." And Levi just got up, forsook all, and followed him. Then he believed in this man so much that he went and he threw a party at his house for this man. And he even had so much confidence in this man that he invited all of his other people that he knew to come to join this feast. And the Bible says that the house was full of publicans and others. Can I say that when you listen, when God is calling you, there's a key time when God is calling you. That's the time to surrender. Not after we've studied it all out, not after we've researched it, not after we've got tons of bookmarks in our internet browser saved of different religions and what they do and how they are, and we go and we interview people in those religions. No, because it might be too late. It might be too late. If you take your last breath before you surrender to the call, it's too late. It's too late. Not to mention that if you get caught up in something that Jesus didn't call you, but it entices you, pulls you in, you might get entangled in something that is going to cause you to spend eternity in hell. But when Jesus calls, how are we going to answer? Are we, when Jesus is drawing us, when we feel it? Now, it's one thing if we don't feel anything, if it's like a lot of religions are, that they're very formal, it's a process. You go and you're like, "Oh wow, that, you know, the things he said sounds good, and I need to make a change in my life. So how do I get started?" Well, you see, on Monday nights from 6 to 9 p.m., if you'll come and you'll sign up and you'll go through these doctrinal studies, it takes about 6 months. And then at the end of that, if you're doing pretty good, then we'll graduate you into another program. And then that other program, after you study it a while, pretty soon you're gonna get to a place to where we can actually let you wear certain clothes in our services. You'll have a certain attire that you wear, and you'll have certain positions and things that you do, and that kind of qualifies you for being even more spiritual and closer to God. And even after you do that a while, then you might even rise up the ladder a little bit more. No, can I tell you? Jesus is in the business of calling nobodies. Jesus is in the business of calling the broke and the busted. Jesus is in the business of calling people that don't have any hope. Jesus is in the business of calling people that have given up on everything else because there's nothing that's working. Jesus is into calling you and I. Jesus is into calling people that don't deserve to be called. And when we are called, how are we going to answer? Are we going to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it, but before I do, let me get in this good vacation, because this vacation, I've been waiting a long time to this vacation. You see, when I go where I'm going on this vacation, there's no rules. They go out in the desert, and it's pretty crazy. There's people that dress however they want or not at all. They paint themselves up. And they do all kinds of stuff that the Bible would teach against. And it's one big party in the desert. And boy, I'll tell you, they set things on fire at the end. It's exciting. Oh, so you know what? I feel God calling me, but before I do that, let me wait and go on this vacation next August. Or somebody else might say, well, Lord, I want to do it. I want to do it. But I can't sell out right now to you because I'm trying to work four jobs because, you know, I'm working one job and then I'm going and delivering pizzas after that. And then after that, I'm Ubering till 2 a.m. And then I'm actually doing a little bit of online work and I'm trying to do four jobs because I'm trying to get a new car. That new Corvette they have out. Oh my. I want it so badly. So Jesus, if you'll just kind of hold that, you know, keep that invitation open and just give me a few more months. I'm almost there. Then I'll have that Corvette. Somebody else says, Lord, I'll follow you, but right now my life's all messed up. Just lost a loved one. And I'm hurting, I'm grieving. So if you'll wait till I'm done grieving and get all this hurt behind me, then I'm going to really sink into church. Will the dead bury their dead? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. Son of man has not where to lay his head. Can I say that when Jesus calls us, are we going to be like those that said, can I go tell everybody goodbye first? Can I go bury my father first? Or are we going to be like Peter, who fell down on his knees and said, oh, Lord, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. And when he got back to land with him and his partners, they just up and left everything behind. Hey, Peter! Hey, Peter, James, John, hey, hold on a second, guys. Before you leave the ship, two rich ships full of rich fish. Fish is going to make you rich. Before you leave there, what are you going to do? You're not taking any money with you, nothing. You don't even go home and pack all your stuff to take. You're just up and leaving. What are you going to do if you can't make it? What are you going to do if things fall apart? What are you going to do if you get down the road a little bit and you hit hard times and you're following this man that just told you to follow him? When we begin to look through the rest of Jesus' ministry, we begin to see, let me tell you, Levi, let me give you a little glimpse into what you're going to see down the road. Hey, Peter, James, John, listen, guys, you're getting ready to follow Jesus and you don't even know this man. You're just up and leaving everything and following him. Let me just tell you what you're headed for. You're going to be walking down the street. And there's going to be a funeral going along. They're going to be carrying the casket. And all of a sudden, Jesus is going to stop that funeral procession. And he's going to raise that person from the dead. And the family's going to be excited about it. Hey, you know what else you're going to see? There's going to be a leper that's not supposed to be around anybody. And Jesus is going to tell him, be clean. Hey, you know what? There's going to be a lady that's had an issue of blood for 12 years. She's gone to every physician, done all she can. But you're going to go and you're going to see that this man that you're following, he's going to have people all around him, everywhere, that's just so tight against him that you can't get in. But there's going to be this woman, and she's going to be so desperate that she's going to get down on the ground and she's going to start crawling and moving people's legs out of the way and saying, excuse me, I've got to get to Jesus. Excuse me, can you just let me through? I've got to get to Jesus. And Levi and James and John and Peter, listen, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see that this woman, finally when she gets up there, she touches just the border of his garment, just the edge of his robe. And suddenly he's going to stop and he's going to look around and he's going to say, who touched me? And James and John and Peter and Levi, you know what? You're going to be among those that are going to say, but Jesus, what are you talking about? What do you mean who touched you? Look at all the people. And he's going to go, no, James, John, Levi, listen, somebody touched me. I don't mean just reached out physically. Somebody got a hold of what they needed and touched me. and there is virtue that has gone out of me. And suddenly you're going to see this lady that's going to come forward, and she's going to say, trembling, oh God, oh Lord, I touched you because I just believed that you could help me, and suddenly now I'm healed. I've been waiting for 12 years trying to find an answer, and now I'm healed. Peter, James, John, Levi, this man that you're just up and following that you don't even know, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what's going to happen. In a few years, it's going to be, you know, another 3+ years. But it's going to be some hard times. He's going to be taken from you. They're going to actually take him, and they're going to crucify him on a cross. He's going to die. And they're going to bury him in a tomb, and they're going to put a big rock over the front, and they're going to seal the rock, and they're going to put guards there to make sure that nobody takes this man that you're getting ready to follow away. But you see, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Simon, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of it. Because 3 days later, you're going to go to the tomb, and Peter, you're going to bend down and you're going to look inside, and he's not going to be there because he's going to have risen again. In fact, you know what, Peter? You know how you fell down on your knees and you said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man? Can I tell you, Peter, that his blood that he shed on the cross is going to actually wash all your sins away. And you guys are going to go to an upper room, and you're going to wait for the promise that he gives you. And one of these days, it's going to really happen. And you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to speak in another tongue. You're going to have power that you've never had before. That's what you're going to get for just up and following a man that you've not researched. You don't know all about him. You don't know all about his doctrine. You don't even know if what he's preaching is right. But there's something about him that's pulling you. There's something about him that's saying, I need to follow this man. And so rather than hold back in pride or lack of understanding, you just surrender it all and go to him as we all stand. How will you answer Jesus' call? How will you answer it? Will you try to tell him, well, maybe later, Lord? Well, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what, I'll do it part-time. I'll do it part-time. I'll on Sundays, I'll be a good Christian. Wednesdays, I'll be a good Christian. But Lord, you still got to give me Friday nights. You got to give me Friday nights. There's just way too much fun on Friday nights. Or are we going to surrender everything and give it to him? And when he wakes us up at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden we feel this nagging that we need to pray, are we going to throw those bedclothes back and say, Lord, you blessed me with a warm bed, but I'm getting up and I'm going to pray? What kind of answer are you going to give to Jesus' call? Are you going to forsake all and follow him? Or are you and I just going to follow him halfway? Oh, Levi, James, John, Peter, are you glad that you got up and gave your all and followed this man? Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. In fact, I'm so thankful that at the end of my life, I can't wait to lay down my life for this man that gave his life for me. What about it, Peter? They say that you're gonna be crucified on a cross. Yeah, you know what? In fact, I think I'll even be crucified upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way as him. What about you, others? What's going to happen to you, John? What's going to happen to you, James? Oh, James, I'm willing to. They can come and they can cut off my head with a sword. That's what I'm willing to do because it's worth it all. Oh, today I wonder, as they sing, I wonder today if you and I are ready to answer the call completely. These altars are open, and I think we should just take just a few moments here, and we should check our spirit and ask ourselves, are we answering the call with everything? Are we forsaking all and giving it to him? This is our opportunity to do it. Let's take some time and give God everything right now. Would you give him everything right now? Would you surrender your whole life to him right now? Would you give him all of your friends right now? Would you give him all of your family right now? Would you give him your spouse? Would you give him your children? Would you give him your parents? Would you give him your job? Would you give him everything right now? Whatever you require of me, God, whatever you ask of me, I'm willing to give it because I'm all in. I'm giving it all to you, Lord.